Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 184 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of January 12th, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is Sprinting Bodybuilder Simulator Dan Ryan.
There is no more apt description than you have ever given me.
It's true. Nintendo is closing down the Wii Shop channel after 11 years, so Dan
Thank
and
God.
I have decided...
Yeah. Oh, I mean, sorry.
Dan and I have decided to talk about some of our favorite games on the platform. Before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the words Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello because we always want to hear from you, the listeners. Dan, what do you think of the Atari Box?
Oh, man. was there news about it? I didn't see.
There was the closest thing that could be considered news to it was this, like, some company put out an ad for CES or some trade show, and they were listing all the things that they're supporting, and the Atari Box was on it. So that's weird.
I just want it to be good. I want it to be a cool thing. I don't know what the hell it's going to be, but I want it to be cool.
I also want it to exist. I'm not entirely convinced that it will.
Yeah, like, I mean, if it gives me another way to play Cuphead, then I'm all in.
That would be cool. If I could play Cuphead on that thing on my TV, then yeah. I wouldn't have to be, like, you know, sad that I don't have it on Switch. I'd buy an Atari Box for Cuphead.
Yeah.
Odd that I'd buy that, but not an Xbox One.
Well, because theoretically, there's going to be other stuff on an Atari Box that you're interested in versus...
Most of which will probably also be on Xbox One.
Right. But... I have to imagine it would be cheaper than an Xbox One.
My boss got an Xbox One for her son for Christmas because it's what he wanted.
Right.
And
because he obviously doesn't listen to the show.
She was pretty bummed about it because she's a PlayStation girl and she loves the Switch that she has.
Right.
So she was like, I don't understand why you want another game system. We have the Switch. And he was like, well, I want to play Roblox. It's like, well, you have that on your phone, but whatever.
And your computer and your tablet and your...
toaster oven and whatever the hell else. It's just not, yeah. It's not on the Switch.
I was playing it on the microwave earlier. The microwave version of Roblox is awesome.
It beeps a lot. so she got the Xbox One for him, and like the entire first day was her setting up the darn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's pretty sure she signed up for some sort of like game subscription service that she doesn't understand. But either way,
the games with gold.
I think so. Something like that.
Yeah, they do some pretty good games on there. I mean, how old is the kid?
Six?
Yeah, probably not for him, though.
Yeah, no. The majority of the games on the platform are not for him.
No.
So it was a weird call, but it was what he wanted, and she couldn't really talk him out of it. Like, she really wanted to get him a PS4, and because she's a good mom. But
Great
mom. She got the kid what he wanted. Anyways, not to bash on Xbox One already in the show.
Yeah, give it time.
What's new, Dan? How you doing? What's new with you?
I'm doing all right. I had a really awesome gaming moment that did involve me playing any games, actually. But yesterday, when I got home from work, Katie came running down the stairs. She said, Daddy, attention! Splatfest incoming.
Oh.
I was like... All right. She was
what
like,
"What is it? What is the new Splatfest? I forget."
Comedy versus action.
Oh, that's right.
And she said she was a total comedy girl. She's not really an action girl. Total comedy girl. So she was but just the attention Splatfest incoming. So excited. She was like, "I have to go get an amiibo so I can play in the Splatfest." I was like, "I don't think it works that way."
No, she can just play in it.
I have to go get an amiibo. So I was like, go get you an amiibo. That's not, like, I'm not worried about that. I'll spend $10. She was like, no, I got a gift card from Pop Hop for Target. I want to spend my gift card on a Splatoon amiibo for the Splatfest.
Oh, I wonder if they're still, did she do it? Did she get the amiibo already?
No, we were going to go maybe tomorrow or Friday.
Because I know Target.com, I got one for my niece Ashley. They had the Angling Girl Splatoon amiibo on sale for like $3.
Oh, Jesus.
So I bought like three of them. I gave one to my niece. I gave one to my son, and I kept one for myself. So it's like, that was cool.
I don't know. I'm going to look right now while we're podcasting.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that was a super cool moment. You know, like she's way into it. It's pretty awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I've been playing more Overcooked with Karen, which is it's still going great. We just we just three-starred a level on our first try this evening. That was pretty cool.
That's awesome. We,
one of the space levels where you're making space burritos, which is it's just wonderful.
Overcooked who doesn't love space burritos?
Exactly. If I could be eating a burrito in space right now, I totally would be.
I would not be. Fuck space. I am not trying to ever go to space.
I would love to go to space. Space looks
cool.
Oh, God,
that sounds so terrifying.
You don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., do you?
Not since the first season, no.
Oh, my God. The show was terrible in the first season.
I know.
So they're in space now.
Are they?
And it's so good. The show is so good.
Is it S.W.O.R.D. now?
That's what I thought, but no, it is not S.W.O.R.D. because they're not just in space. They're also in they time traveled to the near future because apparently they're supposed to save the future. It's so ridiculous. It's so wonderful. Like,
okay,
you got to check it out. Even just pick up this season. It's great.
Maybe.
Although I would say pick up last season too, because last season was also great.
All right.
And Ghost Rider and Life Model Decoys and this whole like Matrix thing that was freaking great. The show's awesome, man. It's really good. Anyway, that just reminded me of space. The other basic, really, I haven't gotten a lot of gaming done besides playing a ton of Overcooked with my wife, but I did do a little bit more Doom recently. And one of the things that that game does that I love so much is with the music. Like, when you're about to do a whole big attack thing and, you know, a bunch of, you know, demons are ganging up on you, you get this awesome, you know, heavy metal music and whatnot, like you'd expect. And it's great, and it loops for pretty much as long as you're doing the fight. But sometimes, if the fight escalates to like, all right, you killed a wave, but now there's a second wave of way more dangerous demons showing up, all of a sudden the music changes from like just heavy metal to like, oh, like crazy choir music that's like, oh, now things have really gotten serious, and it's so effective. It's so effective to just kind of scare the pants off you.
That's awesome.
It's so good. I love that game so much. And really, the only other thing I want to mention is that on Twitter, Jules Watson from Atui Games is threatening to port Chicken Wiggle to Switch.
I saw that.
He's gauging interest online, so if you have any interest in trying Chicken Wiggle on Switch? Switch. I recommend. He just wants to. He's just gauging interest. So, find Jules Watson or Atui Games and say, "Yeah, I want some Chicken Wiggle on my Switch." He's doing like HD graphics for it and everything. It's not just a quick and dirty port. He wants to do a Kickstarter for it, which I get. I totally understand. He is a, you know, very small independent developer, and Chicken Wiggle was something that he lost money on already. So
sure,
him asking for an initial investment for those of us who are vocally begging for the game to be on Switch, I can back that. I understand that. I would be willing to pay for that up front to get it funded. But yes, that is my plug for Chicken Wiggle. Go wiggle them chickens.
Go wiggle them chickens.
It's a super fun game, and I would honestly play more of it because I said I wanted to play a level each night, and I really fell out of that relatively quickly because, like I said before, I just don't really want to play my 3DS anymore.
Yeah.
But if this was on Switch, I would play a lot more of it, like without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I'm going to replay Zeo Drifter when he launches that on Switch. I didn't do Mutant Muds because I think I said on the show before, like, once I finished that game, I said, that was amazing.
Never want to go.
Never doing that again.
Never going back to that.
I never want to try Ultra Challenge because the last thing I need is harder Mutant Muds.
Yeah.
And though that puzzle game does look super good, I don't feel like I need to plunk down all of the money for that puzzle game. Like, if it goes on sale, I'll probably pick it up someday. But because the puzzle game does look good, but not I don't want to pay for the triple pack just for the puzzle game. But I will definitely double dip on Zeo Drifter and Zeo Dripper. That's a different game.
Double dip on Zeo Dripper?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I can talk. Anyway.
You don't need to. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just a podcast. We'll just sit here in silence.
That's good. And go.
We actually threatened, not actually threatened, but Karen and I were talking about, we recorded this week's episode, and we did it on the new X-Files season premiere.
Yeah.
And after we watched it, we figured that the only accurate way to really describe how we felt about it was for the entire first segment of the show to just be the two of us going,
Was that bad?
It was
huh?
terrible.
Was it? Oh.
It was awful. And like, I dug the last season, but man, it was bad.
That sucks.
It's got some weird, like, Mulder's doing a voiceover the whole time. Like, who are you talking to, Mulder? Like, who are you talking weird. To? It's a long, bad show. Anyway, so on March 26th, 2018, you will not be able to purchase Wii Points anymore. And then on January 30th, 2019, the Wii Shop will officially close its doors completely. But if you want to buy something, you got to do it before March 26th, 2018. And that includes the original Virtual Console and the WiiWare services. And you only have a limited time left to do it. So that being the case, Dan and I thought it would be fun to look back at some of the cooler games available on the Wii Shop channel and talk about why, if you haven't already, you should go check them out. So the first half, we're going to do a Virtual Console, and then on the back half, we're going to hit up WiiWare. So I came up with a list because I don't know if you know this about me. I'm pretty sure I mentioned on the show like years ago when it happened, but my Wii U had some weird thing where it shit the bed.
Yeah.
And I had to send my system back, and when they sent it back to me, they didn't reload all the games that I had bought. They just credited my account for what I had spent on Wii Virtual Console and WiiWare, just the original Wii Shop channel.
And it was found out it was a ridiculous amount of money.
It was over $900.
That's insane, dude.
I mean, it was over the course of a couple of years, but yeah, I spent a lot of money on that service.
I mean, so that's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm crazy. Surprise.
Well, yeah.
So basically what I did is I went through the list of every Virtual Console game that had ever been released, and they have a nice list on Wikipedia of everything that was released and when it was released, broken down by system, and I basically highlighted things that are worth downloading now because I think they're the best way to play these games.
Right.
Like, a lot of stuff that's on the virtual, like Super Mario Brothers, you can get in many different ways and in more modern versions. There's a lot of those, like, those seminal games that are everywhere, like your Mario and Sonic and whatnot. But
right. Some but of you these don't other need games, that again.
You really don't. These are games that have, as far as other places they've shown up before, like, this is, in my opinion, still the best way to play these games outside of getting an original NES and playing it on a CRT.
Right.
So, first up, I just have a couple of NES titles. And Dan, if there are any games on any platforms that I missed that you think are worth spitting out, feel free to jump in there.
No, I looked at your list, and I think this is pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty comprehensive, I think. I mean, because
I would agree.
There's definitely games that are not on my list that are probably worth getting, but these are ones that, in my humble opinion, are totally worth your time. So for NES, was originally thrown on the Virtual Console on December 24th, 2007, Blades of Steel.
Blades of Steel.
Blades of Steel.
So good.
Blades of Steel is such a good hockey game. It's such a good hockey game. It's so much fun.
It's crazy how well that game holds up now.
It really is. Like, it's still super fun to play. There's a big debate on NES with which was better, ice hockey or Blades of Steel. I always go Blades of Steel.
Oh, Blades of Steel. It's not even, I don't even think that's a question.
I mean, really the only major advantage that ice hockey has over Blades of Steel is the ability to make your team just fat people.
Right. Which is
funny, but...
But offensive.
A little bit, yeah.
To those of us that are of the chubbier persuasion.
Another NES game well worth tracking down on the Virtual Console. Again, these are only $5 a piece. Is the original Blaster Master.
Yes.
And this is probably the best way that I've found to play Blaster Master. It's shown up, I think, on other Virtual Console services. Might have showed up on the Wii U too, but the Wii U NES Virtual Console is shit. It's straight up trash. So avoid buying NES games on the Wii U Virtual Console, with the exception of Earthbound Beginnings, because that is the only way to get it.
Right.
But yeah,
which is still ridiculous.
It is still completely ridiculous.
It's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Podcast for another podcast. Yeah. Blaster Master, one of my all-time favorite games. Amazing music. Really one of the best-looking NES games, I think, still to this day.
Absolutely.
It's a stunning game. And man, that was released back in 2009 on the Wii. 12-14-09. Good times. And also from Sunsoft, you got Euphoria the Saga, which, boy, this was back in 2010. Were we even doing this show in 2010? No, we can't have been doing this show long.
No, we haven't been doing this show for 7+ years, Chris.
Yeah, no, that's not a thing.
That's all not right, a so thing we've been doing.
This game is awesome. When they released this one on Virtual Console, I had never heard of it before. This was on August 23rd, 2010. But I saw it was a Sunsoft game. And I was like, all right, I'm game. I'll buy a Sunsoft title that was never released here in America. And the game's incredible. It's super good. The only real problem with this port is that the music's all screwed up.
Right.
Because what happened with this is that this game never came out in America, but it was released in PAL territories. And so it's a PAL game, but they're feeding it through the American virtual, like an NES emulator. So it's playing all the music at the wrong pitch. It sounds awful.
Now, wasn't this one that you got a repro cart of?
I did, yeah. After getting the NES game and absolutely loving it, I found a repro cart that runs on NES consoles, you know, American NES consoles, right, with the music corrected. And it's great. It's got a really cool soundtrack. It's really good stuff. It plays kind of like a really, really goofy Metroidvania kind of game.
Yeah, it's a very silly game. It is very silly characters.
And very Japanese,
very much
offbeat. Like it's a different kind of silly, like, you know, climbing up the drool of something that is clearly mentally impaired.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really strange stuff, but it's a super fun game and challenging and smart, and it's late Sunsoft game, so the graphics are really, really nice. Highly recommend it. So that's pretty much it for NES games that are absolute must-owns outside of the regular stuff that you can get on other virtual console services. I mean, even if you get them on Wii U, which are still garbage.
Right, but do we really need to convince you to buy The Legend of Zelda? Like,
no,
you know,
we really don't, you know.
Now,
go ahead.
Are there any NES games that are exclusive to just the WiiWare?
That weren't released elsewhere?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Blades of Steel, I don't think I've seen the NES version of Blades of Steel released anywhere else.
Okay.
And I know there are probably others. It's a shame it's been delisted, the original Ninja Turtles for NES.
Oh, yeah.
That flaming thing. That was released on Virtual Console, but that was delisted, so you can't get that anymore. I would venture to say that there's actually quite a considerable number of these that were not put on the Wii U Virtual Console, but I didn't really compare those. This is really just kind of going off of memory, and I'm pretty sure Blades of Steel isn't there. And if you're into it, I think Double Dribble is up there too, but honestly, Blades of Steel is where it's at.
Is better. I mean, I like Double Dribble, but...
I like Double Dwibble.
Double Dwibble.
I like Double Dwibble too, but I'm all Blades of Steel. So moving on to Super Nintendo, we have, this confuses me. So Super Turrican, awesome game, really expensive. Right. Like to try to find the cartridge for this thing, good freaking luck.
Yeah.
It's one of those like really, really expensive Super Nintendo games. That's on the service. Super Turrican 2 has been delisted though.
That's
I don't
weird.
Know why.
Maybe like a music rights issue or?
You know, it might have... is that Super Turrican 2 or the first one? There's like a I think it was the Super Turrican that is coming out on like one of those repro systems is getting a complete version of Super Turrican.
Okay.
Like back when they were making it, the folks at Factor 5, they had to cut out a whole crap load of stuff from the game because Nintendo wouldn't provide them with larger cartridges. So there's like a complete director's cut of Super Turrican coming out on one of those systems soon. That's super cool. But no, Super Turrican's great. All the Turrican games are super fun action games. And this is still a great way to get them because as far as I know, they're not really collected elsewhere on any consoles. At least I don't think so.
I don't know. honestly.
But it's worth your time. I mean, this is a good way to get it. It certainly plays perfectly well on the Wii or Wii U. So if you've got them, use them. Get Super Turrican. It's awesome.
If you got them.
There's the Super Star Wars trilogy is still available up there. The super tough as nails Star Wars Super Nintendo games, though. I think, are they on PSN?
I believe they are.
I actually forgot all about that. They put those on PlayStation. I don't remember if they put all three of them up there.
I believe they did.
Well, in that case, ignore that. Get them on PlayStation.
No, still get them here. I mean,
yeah, still get them here. I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting them here.
Wii Shop Channel needs some love.
It does. Chrono Trigger also available on this. Chrono Trigger, I recommend getting on whatever platform you can get it. But this is this is the most faithful Super Nintendo port. I mean, if you get the, I think there's a version of it available on PlayStation.
Right.
But it's based on the PlayStation 1 version of the game, which odd loading times and stuff.
Yeah.
There's great cutscenes, but weird loading times. There's also Chrono Trigger on DS, which is excellent, but, you know, it's a handheld. So if you want to play it on TV and you don't want to track down the super expensive cartridge, nab Chrono Trigger on Super Nintendo. Good stuff.
Which, I mean, Chrono Trigger is one of those games, like, if you haven't played Chrono Trigger, I mean, first of all, this is probably not the podcast for you. True. Like, I'm just not sure how you would have found this particular show if that's not something that's in your purview. But if somehow it is not in your purview, Chrono Trigger is just one of those games that it's... I find it very difficult to explain why Chrono Trigger is so good. You know, like, because it's an RPG and, like, it's got cool mechanics and whatnot, but, like, how many RPGs have cool mechanics? There's just something about that game when you play it that it's just, it really is unlike anything else.
It's just got an amazing soul, and the story's great, the characters are great, it's very expressive, it's got probably some of the best sprite-based Akira Toriyama artwork. You know, obviously stuff in polygonal stuff like the later Dragon Quest games looks great, but Chrono Trigger is just, it's such great character design. It's a wonderful, wonderful game.
He hadn't given up hope yet. Like, this isn't lazy Akira Toriyama. This is like,
this isn't Blue Dragon. This is,
this is him putting in work.
Like you can actually tell that you can, obviously he still has his artwork style. It's very obvious that these characters are these, you know, the archetypes that he's drawn before, but he's given them all such unique personality that they don't look specifically like Chrono is not Goku. He's got similarities to Goku, but he's not just straight up Goku.
Right.
Like the main character of Blue Dragon basically is.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent game.
Phenomenal. And then closing out Super Nintendo, you've got the Super Adventure Island games, 1 and 2. As far as I know, these haven't been ported anywhere else.
They might
be
so.
On Wii U, I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure they're just on the Wii Virtual Console.
And they're awesome. Great. I mean, the Super Adventure Island games, it's one of these days we will sit down and do that show.
Yeah.
We will go through the nonsense that is the Super Adventure Island
/ story. Wonder Boy lineage.
Yeah. I mean, because it's just crazy. But these are such cool little games. I mean, like, this was Hudson's mascot.
Yeah. I mean, Master Higgins was great. And they're so different from one another.
They really are.
And that's what makes them so interesting. Like, Super Adventure Island, I think, is probably the best, at least it's my favorite of the classic Adventure Island style, because, you know, the short version is that Wonder Boy started as this one kind of game, that Adventure Island was also the same exact game, and then Adventure Island series, they kind of kept running with that original gameplay style, and Wonder Boy started to lean a little bit more towards Metroidvania with RPG elements, similar to Zelda 2. And, so Super Adventure Island is very much like a bunch of steps backwards to basically just super refining what made the original Adventure Island great. So it doesn't have any like the dinosaurs and stuff you can ride. It's just Master Higgins, skateboard, boomerangs, hammers, that kind of stuff. And it's really, really pretty. It's got a very, very bold art direction to it.
It is excellent, a really good looking game.
It is, and it was a very early Super Nintendo game, but it made great use of what the platform was capable of. But then Super Adventure Island 2 came out years later. It was a much later Super Nintendo game. It's a fairly expensive one. It had a low print run here in America, so you would be forgiven for not having played it, but it's Super Adventure Island 2 is very much like Zelda 2. So that one, you equip armor and swords and shields, and you get magic and you collect keys and you travel all over the place. It's a really cool game, and it's one that I've always wanted to spend the time to finish, because and I did it with my friend a long time ago, but he played large chunks of the game without me there because it was his game. So like, there's still a bunch of the game that he's a dick. So there's still a bunch of the game that I missed, you know, and I've always meant to go back and really play through it solo, and I just never spent the time on it. But boy, this game is really worth your time. We're definitely, I highly, highly recommend Super Adventure Island 2, even over the first one, because first one's great, but it's a relatively simple game. And with Nintendo's insane pricing, you know what I mean? Like, all Super Nintendo games are $8. So, like, if you're going to spend $8 on a game, Chrono Trigger and Super Adventure Island 2, you're going to get the most game out of. So, highly recommend it.
Excellent stuff.
You were going to say something. I cut you off. I apologize.
I forget what I was going to say, but it was going to be brilliant.
It usually is.
It was going to be fantastic.
So shifting on to N64, not a ton of stuff on the N64 Virtual Console that I'd say is like, you absolutely must buy this on there.
I would even argue that the only one is this first one you're going to mention.
Yeah, Sin and Punishment, that's well worth your time. I think that also got put on the Wii U Virtual Console, though, which is I believe it probably runs a little bit better. Not runs better, but has, like, you know, save states and is easier to get to instead of, you know, fishing through, heading over to the Wii mode of your Wii U or whatever. But no, yeah. Sin and Punishment, the original N64 game, it's one of those games that kind of suffers from having been an N64 game that worked with the N64 controller and its bizarre layout. So it doesn't translate 100% easily to a virtual console. The controls take some getting used to, but the game is still freaking awesome.
It is. And it's a treasure game. So
it is.
That means it's hard.
It is a treasure game published by Nintendo. It plays like a cross between Space Harrier and Panzer Dragoon. It's freaking great.
It's awesome.
It's just an awesome game.
And wasn't that like the original? The cart never came out in America, right? Or did it?
Correct.
No, right. Okay. This was the one. Because I remember like magazine articles about like the new treasure game for N64. It looks fucking like just really nuts. And basically what you said, like Space Harrier and Panzer Dragoon and son of a bitch, that's going to be awesome. And then like, no, oh, no, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, it's just not going to get that. Yeah, all the magazines talked about it. But yeah, no, we didn't get that. But they did eventually release it here in America. I'm realizing now, like, there's a couple other ones that I thought of and I didn't write down on the list. Like, all right, so another one, the original Super Smash Brothers, only if you really want that nostalgia factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the original Super Smash Brothers is just a neat game to look back on to see how humble its beginnings were.
Right. Like, and to compare it to the craziness that it has become.
Exactly. Like, it's such a small game by comparison. It's kind of hilarious. Obviously, you've got stuff like Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. Really, if you're going to play those games now, you should really play the 3DS remasters.
Right.
Because they really make those games. They have not aged as well as you want them to.
No, they have not.
The original Paper Mario is still available on there. That's a winner. I can recommend that. Star Fox 64, I can recommend. Again, these are like half recommendations. Like there's a lot of really solid stuff, but to actually spend the money on when I feel like there's other alternatives out there, you know, Star Fox 64 is another one. There's a great 3DS remake of that. So playing
how much
the original
are the
N64 one,
games?
They're $10.
Now, none of the WWF games made it on there, right? WrestleMania, No Mercy.
None of those.
That's a shame.
Yeah, that is a shame. Most of what's on here was published by Nintendo. In fact, every single game on here was published by Nintendo, except Ogre Battle 64, Person of Lordly Caliber, which was published by Square Enix. And
actually, I would recommend picking up Ogre Battle 64.
That's what I was going to say. If you're an Ogre, if you've played any of the other Ogre Battle games, I don't dig them, but I know that they're very good for what they are. And if you like those kinds of strategy RPGs, get this game. Don't even think twice about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ogre Battle is awesome. That is a game that, please, can I have a Switch version of Ogre Battle?
That would be cool.
Please.
That should be a property that Square Enix revives one day. I would also heartily recommend Wave Race 64.
Mm.
Wave Race is awesome, and it has aged surprisingly well.
I enjoyed that game way more than I'd like to admit.
Because that game's great. It's so much freaking fun.
It's the same way I feel about like Jet Moto. Like, why do I like this so much? This is stupid. This is a dumb game.
I still
game.
Think the water effects, even in the N64 games, still they do look
really
so
good.
Cool.
They do really look do really look good.
Awesome. For the Sega Master System, you had there's a bunch of Master System games. Lots of good stuff. They're relatively inexpensive. I think they're like $5 a piece, just like NES games.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot that I can heartily recommend to get on there because I believe they've all been re-released in some other way, shape, or form. Like.
Mm-hmm.
I'd usually say, get Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap, but now the new version is out, and it has the old version in it, so there's really no purpose. Exactly. Get the new version. 110%. Sonic the Hedgehog and Fantasy Zone 2 are the closest things I can get to recommending on that, but I don't know. You can pretty much skip that, because I think they've all been put on different collections over the years. So,
except for, like, My Hero, but I'm not even sure if that's on there, but if it is, it's not worth $5.
I don't think it is. But... Yeah, there wasn't actually a ton of Master System stuff on there, really. You had the Wonder Boy, Fantasy Zone, Alex Kidd, Miracle World, Sonic 1, Space Harrier, really the Master System version of Space Harrier,
yeah.
Sonic 2, yeah, Enduro Racer, Wonder Boy and Monster Land, Sonic Chaos, Alex Kidd, Fantasy Zone 2, Secret Command, Fantasy Star, R-Type, that was delisted, Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap, and Alex Kidd and Shinobi World, and that's it. There were only 16 games mm-hmm. on the Master System released on the system. Genesis, on the other hand, had a huge presence on the virtual console.
Yeah.
According to this list, there were a total of 75 games released, and there's still 73 available. What were the delisted ones? Oh, wow. Pitfall the Mayan Adventure was delisted on January 1st, 2014. I don't know why. And Shanghai 2 the Dragon's Eye. Okay, sure. We're really missing out on that one.
We really are.
Profound sadness. I didn't write down a ton for Genesis. I'd recommend Super Turrican, obviously. Super Fantasy Zone's another one, because that never came out in America, so this is a good way to play that. Musha, because it's one of the most expensive Genesis games. And Monster World 4, because it's a pseudo-sequel to Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap. So.
Is it? See, I don't even know that one.
I've never played it, and I need to get around to it, because it's part of that insane Wonder Boy / Adventure Island lineage.
Yeah. I would say maybe the Genesis version of Strider might be worth
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I think the arcade Strider is out somewhere. I think that's on, like, PlayStation Network somewhere.
Possibly.
In fact, even the Genesis version might be, too. I don't know. I remember Strider 2 for PlayStation. How cool was that game?
Yeah, that was, like, so under the radar.
It was, yeah, just like all of a sudden, here's a new Strider game. It's freaking awesome. Oh,
really?
You have cool. Infinite continues, so it's, like, super, super easy no matter how you slice it. But who cares? You look awesome the entire time you're playing it. Enjoy.
Yeah, it's good.
Strider's so
cool. I even like the latest one I enjoyed.
Oh, wow, I forgot they even did that.
Yeah, most people did.
Wow.
It wasn't great, but I liked it.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
TurboGrafx games. This was also kind of a hard one to nail down, because I believe there's a ton of TurboGrafx games on PlayStation, right?
There is, but see, and I know this sounds stupid, but I am the wrong person to ask about this kind of shit, because like I don't spend a lot on old games.
Mm-hmm.
For those, like on those services, that's just not what I get on there. Mostly because I have all of these already somewhere else on, on something.
So really the list of games, New Adventure Island it's a New Adventure Island game. It's pretty cool. I don't like it as much as I like Super Adventure Island, but I do think it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon's Curse, a lot of these are just fascinating. You know, not a lot. I would say at least two of them I bought out of the fascination factor.
Right.
Dragon's Curse is Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap with some weird slight graphical variations to some of the characters. But it is identical. It is the same exact game. And they didn't even really upgrade the graphics too much. It's like barely a 16-bit version.
Right.
This is so weird, but it's fascinating. So that's a thing. The other one that you, if you're, I bought this one because I had to see what it was like. Actually, both of these, Fighting Street and Street Fighter II Champion Edition, were both put up on this on the Virtual Console. And that is, Fighting Street is Street Fighter One.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they changed the name.
Because Fighting Street is cooler? Sounds better?
I guess.
Is it? I don't know.
And Street Fighter II Champion Edition on the TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah.
A system with two buttons.
Yeah. It's not a great idea.
I had to try it. And it's not great. It's a playable version of that game, but it's not great.
No.
It's such a fascination. I had to try it. So, then you get stuff like we talked about Newtopia 2 recently on the show. It's a winner.
So good.
Lords of Thunder, my favorite TurboGrafx-16 game.
Lords of Thunder is excellent.
Most awesome shooters ever. But the game to get on Virtual Console.
Splatterhouse.
I say, Splatterhouse, but that's available elsewhere.
Yeah, like iOS, though.
That's on the Switch. It's in the Namco Museum on Switch.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Splatterhouse is in a bunch of places. I'm certain Splatterhouse is readily available on a multitude of platforms.
It is actually not as available as you would think. I looked it up just to double check. The platforms it is available for, or was available for, the original arcade, then the censored version, which is what we've gotten since then, which is the TurboGrafx, the FM Towns, the Microsoft Windows, and then iOS and Nintendo Switch.
Huh. All right. Well, then, yeah, Splatterhouse. If you don't have a Switch, then get Splatterhouse here.
Yeah.
If you do have a Switch and you want Splatterhouse, you unfortunately have to buy the Namco Museum, which isn't actually very unfortunate because it's a great collection, but it's also a Namco Museum collection, so you have to buy it for like $30 or whatever. Mm. So, this is a good way to get that. This is a good way to get Splatterhouse. Good call.
Yeah, Splatterhouse.
But I still stand by, if you're only going to buy one game on the Virtual Console, you need to get Castlevania Rondo of Blood.
Yes.
Because this is a phenomenal game. It is a perfect translation of it. It is not the new polygonal version or anything like that. It is a straight up perfect port of the original TurboGrafx CD game. It is worth every penny that you would spend on it. It is freaking phenomenal.
And it's what, $5?
I think it's more like $8.
Yeah, totally worth it.
Because this was, they charged more for import games, and this is an import game. This wasn't released in America, but it was on the Virtual Console, and this is, as far as I can tell, this is still the best way to get that game.
Yeah.
It
plays great on the Wii controller. Like, even just the sideways holding it.
It's true, yeah.
It plays fine.
Just the Wii remote.
You know, it's awesome. I mean, Rondo of Blood is just so good. And this was like one of the coolest things I think that the Wii had, was like, you can fucking get Rondo of Blood. Like, that almost made the system worth it.
It's probably cheaper to go out and buy yourself a Wii and get Rondo of Blood than it is to buy a TurboGrafx CD and Rondo of Blood.
Yeah.
In fact, I can guarantee it's cheaper that way.
Oh, yeah. You can just go, like, trash picking, and I'm sure you'll find 7 or 8 Wiis just laying around. Yeah.
Like, released on? Is this available? I know it was in... Yeah, it was just a PSP...
Mm-hmm.
In the Dracula X Chronicles,
and
then it was on the Wii Virtual Console, and that's it, as far as I can tell.
And I really like playing it on the PSP. Like, it's nice to have that portable, but to play it nice and big up on the television, like, yeah.
Because this game's gorgeous.
Yeah.
This game looks almost as good as Symphony of the Night. This is where artwork came from. It's such a good game.
Mm.
And then, you know... All this else, there's Neo Geo games available on there. They're all available elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was anything Neo Geo that was released on Virtual Console that you can't get somewhere else at this point.
But you should play Magician Lord because that game's fucking dope.
True. Commodore 64 games were available on the Wii Virtual Console for a time, which I find hilarious. I never downloaded any of them because none of them really seemed like I need to have this game on my TV.
But it was cool that they were there.
Yeah, I was really happy that they were there. And I'm sad that I didn't pick up any of them before they disappeared. They were all discontinued in August of 2013. So they were up there for like 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to get California Games. I'm sad I didn't pick that up on there. The original Commodore 64 California Games. I love that that was even a thing. That C64 games were available on Wii. That's so nuts to me.
Mm-hmm.
But there were 9 games released for it. They're all unavailable now, so nuts to that. And the only other category was the Virtual Console Arcade, which was probably the most underused thing ever because Nintendo didn't put any of their games up on Virtual Console Arcade.
Which is crazy.
Absolute insanity to me. They still haven't published their own arcade games. They have Hamster doing the work for the Switch, where we finally got versus Super Mario Brothers and the original Mario Brothers. We still don't have Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., or Donkey Kong 3, Punch-Out. Like, any of Nintendo's arcade stuff is still coming, theoretically. I should hope Donkey Kong's coming at some point, but...
I would argue that... you probably should have included, if nothing else, Rygar, Golden Axe, and Black Tiger.
An arcade?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all right, so here's the thing. Because
the Rygar arcade is different.
It is, but it's not very good.
But it's interesting.
It is interesting. I was going to say that. At the very least, Rygar and Ninja Gaiden were two ones
Ninja
bought.
Gaiden. Was cool
because Ninja Gaiden is a completely different game. It's a Double Dragon style beat 'em up.
Yeah, and it had that Rygar, cool hanging from the light post.
Yeah,
thing or the streetlight thing.
It's very slow paced though. It has not aged well at all. No, like it's not really a fun game to play. It's just interesting. And the same thing with Rygar. It's very points based. You know, it's just like running around beating shit up with your disc armor, which is cool, but it's not it. It's hard to recommend for the price, but it's also, as far as I know, not readily available in many places.
It's really not. Same thing with Black Tiger.
I don't even know Black Tiger. What is that one?
Black Tiger. It's an arcade side-scrolling quarter muncher. It was originally called Black Dragon in Japan, I think. I don't know. It's one of the ones that they talk about in Ready Player One. All the time. It was like the dude's favorite game and whatnot, but it's just a very cool little arcade game.
Space Harrier is on here. I know that's available elsewhere, but yeah. It doesn't matter. Space Harrier is great, and this is a great version of it. It's a perfect arcade port. It controls very, very well. Altered Beast, whatever. So there's the collection of games on this particular service is great. But they're not like most of them you can get somewhere else. And really, you don't need the arcade version of Tecmo Bowl. You need the NES version.
I don't know.
Because that's the one everybody knows.
The one interesting thing about Black Tiger, though, is it is the first game that ever used Zenny.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's a thing. I mean, it's cool. I like it. It is also... do you remember that Capcom arcade collection thing that they did on like PlayStation and Xbox and all that? Like it's on there as well.
Okay.
But you had to like buy that whole thing. Though. Yeah. You had to buy that whole deal to get it. Yeah.
Which was a good collection. It was a nice package,
but I mean if you're not looking for that kind of thing. All right. Tiger's cool.
That wraps up our first segment. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the WiiWare service, which, that was really something. So
right.
should be a fun back half of the show. You are listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from geekade.com. So stick around.
And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, Gabby continues with her series, revisiting books that were important to her in her youth and discovering new meaning in them as an adult. This time, she's reread How I Live Now, the story of a displaced American teen relocated to the English countryside in pre-war times, who finds connection with her newfound family before being torn away from them by conflict. It's a sad story with a relevant message for the present day. Read all about it in Gabby Rereads How I Live Now, located in the Think Tank.
I think that was the most serious commercial we've ever had on this show.
It was. Well, you really can't make a lot of jokes about, like,
yeah,
pre-war, you know, like, child orphaning.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I am currently rereading with my own children as their bedtime story, The Indian in the Cupboard.
Oh, wow. I haven't read that since I was a kid. Oh,
it's so good. It's so good. And, like, they're just as into it as I was because, I mean, that it's such a timeless story of, like, I put my toys in this thing and they come to life. That's awesome.
You know, I never read A Wrinkle in Time.
Really?
Yeah, I never read that when I was a kid. I know all my friends were talking about it, but it was checked out at the library, and so I went to the library to look for something else, and I found a book called The Wonderful Flight to the Mushroom Planet, which was really cool. but because of that, I never read A Wrinkle in Time.
Mm.
So when I saw the trailer for the movie, and I saw, like, Mindy Kaling and Oprah Winfrey in weird wigs, it's like, I don't know what's going on here. I feel very strange about this.
But I'm into it. I'm very into it. Looks really good.
It's a good trailer. I like me some Chris Pine, too, so
huzzah. And what's the director? DuVernay? I don't know exactly how you pronounce her name. She's very good.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Then, over the past few years, some folks at Marvel decided that the Inhumans should be as popular as the X-Men. They had them fight one another in the comics. They stuffed them into TV shows, one of which was stunningly terrible. Everywhere you looked, Marvel wanted you to see and love Inhumans. The problem is that it didn't work. At all.
No.
So Jordan and Brendan teamed up with Jonathan and Patty from the Mutant Musings podcast to poke fun at Marvel's colossal failure in their latest episode. Join the fun in Nonstop Comic Shop episode 13, Oh, the Inhumanity.
It is a good thing the Marvel movies are good. Because the rest of their business is not doing so hot.
And I'm sad that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't doing better in the ratings. It's doing well enough. It seems the rumor is that it's going to keep going. But it should be more popular than it is. It should be at least as popular as the CW superhero shows.
Right. Well, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I do think it's at least as good as those shows, if not frequently better.
Mm. Well, we won't have to worry about the Inhumans too much anymore now that Disney bought Fox. Or bought the Fox properties, because you get a Wolverine, and you get a Wolverine, and everybody gets a Wolverine. I'm very excited about it.
Finally, excited about it too.
New year, new music. Turn It Up. Turn It Up. I can't really read that. I've had too much to drink. Turn It Up's Janelle is back to let you know about the hottest hits to warm you up this literally freezing cold month. It was, when I went to work last week, the one day I had to go to work, it was like 3.
I went running in that.
That was stupid.
It was kind of awesome.
Did you get the ice beard?
No, I got the ice mustache because I had a runny nose.
Mm. Got to get the ice beard. Way better.
It didn't happen for me.
No?
And I have the full beard now. Just nothing.
I don't know. Maybe you got to get a better beard.
Maybe I got to drool more.
It's the secret. That's how you know you're doing it right. Learn about new releases from Bjorn's, Philip Phillips, Steep Canyon Rangers, and more. Plus, find out which week is jam-packed with new music. Get all this and more and Turn It Up, new music releases for January 2018.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com. All right, we're back. So there were three pillars of the Wii Shop channel. Pillar number one was the virtual console, and that was probably the most important. Tons of great stuff on there. Pillar number two was the different channels that were available, like Crunchyroll and Hulu and Amazon Prime. The Everybody Votes channel, which was actually kind of fun. There was a lot of neat stuff on there.
No, it wasn't.
Everybody Votes was awesome. It was, I don't know why it was fun. It was just fun. Me and Karen would just like open it up every couple of months or so. And it was just like, they just ask you these ridiculous questions, basically like the kinds of questions that have now become Splatfests, which is a way better idea than just a random channel where everyone votes on just like, what's better, pizza or tacos? It's like
pizza.
Tacos.
You're so wrong.
God, that's hard. It's a hard choice. My gut says it's tacos not. Because I love tacos, but pizza's pizza, man.
It's not even a competition.
That is really hard.
It's really not. You're putting it up on a pedestal, Chris. I don't understand.
I feel like
why.
Bad tacos are worse than bad pizza. But great tacos are better than great pizza.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I agree.
Yeah.
Damn, if only there was a channel for us to vote on this and gauge the perception of the rest of the Wii-owning populace.
That was a weird time.
It was a weird, weird time.
Remember that weather channel where you could just spin the globe?
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool. You just look at the weather all around the world. And they had a news channel. Like the original Wii launch was the Wii was a very ambitious system in a lot of ways. It missed the boat in a lot of other ways.
It missed all of the boats. It fell out of the boat and didn't even hit water.
That's not entirely true. Like it really nailed a couple of things. The Wii became the Netflix player, which I missed out on. I did not understand that was the situation. Like, because I thought it was weird where, like, they originally released Netflix on Wii, and it was like, you have to get a disc that you put in there in order to run
strange.
The program before they launched a channel. But what I didn't realize was that Netflix loved Nintendo because the Wii was the thing that most people, like, actually legitimately most people watched Netflix on the Wii. Like,
That's what we used to have when the girls were very little. Our Wii was used for Wii Fit and Netflix for the kids.
It was like PS2 with DVDs. Like, yeah. It was, you get that thing and you play Wii Sports five times, and then you have a Netflix player that connects to every TV in your house.
And then I have a Netflix box.
And that's what it was. So that was, anyway, the other thing that was part of the Wii Shop channel was WiiWare, which was original games that were designed exclusively for Nintendo's WiiWare service. They had to be very small, like Nintendo harshly restricted the file sizes, which is why Super Meat Boy never came out on the Wii, which is the Wii was what it was originally designed for.
And even Super Meat Boy, which is a very small game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, WiiWare games had to be freaking tiny.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. I want to know what the actual
megabyte.
Wikipedia has it. It's got to be I can't find it.
It was 1 megabit.
Yeah, it was like 1 megabit, 56K. The games had to be stupid tiny. But there was a ton of terrible games on it. Like really awful, awful crap. Was smeared all over the WiiWare. It was just, there was lots of really bad stuff on there. And some, like, interestingly bad stuff. Like, I did a whole article series on the Stone Age Gamer blog site about worthwhile WiiWare. And the last one I did was all about the weird stuff, which I included some weird bad games. And, you know, one or two that just weren't necessarily bad, but they're not worth the price.
Like right.
Bonsai Barber
is a
super interesting game because it's about cutting, it's about giving plants haircuts.
Sure. I mean, I'm into that.
And it's got a neat personality. It's just that there's not a lot to it. It's fun, but there's not a lot to it. And it's like pretty expensive. I think it was like $12, which is really, that's a lot for what basically boils down to like a cell phone game. But
yeah,
there were indeed some genuinely worthwhile purchases on there. First and foremost, the ones that always come to my mind and most other people's when you think about, well, what are the games that are really worth getting? The Konami Rebirth series.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
There were three of them. There was Castlevania, Contra, and Gradius. And well, I didn't really mess with Gradius much because I'm not the hugest Gradius fan. The Castlevania and Contra Rebirth games are great because what they are is actual, legitimate, brand new 16-bit Castlevania and Contra games.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy because like nobody's played them and they've never been ported to anything else ever.
Nope.
It boggles my mind how Konami has not grabbed these games and packaged them and put them on every other platform. There must be some sort of exclusivity deal that I just don't know about because these games need to be ported elsewhere. I want these games on my Switch and I want them tomorrow.
Dude, because if you put that Castlevania game on PlayStation, it would explode.
It would. It would sell everywhere. Because Castlevania The Adventure Rebirth is sort of like it's an even looser remake than Metroid Samus Returns.
Right.
Like it bears a couple of very vague references to Castlevania The Adventure for Game Boy, but all in all, it's just a brand new 16-bit Castlevania game. And I mean, like, it's more like Dracula X, I guess, to an extent,
mm-hmm.
where it plays very much like the original Castlevania. It's very stage to stage. There's no real exploration. It is an action game. And it's done
but it's
in this...
it's awesome!
It is awesome, because it plays like an arcade game, almost. Like, it looks and sounds like Konami's old arcade stuff, like Turtles in Time and whatnot. It's more colorful than a Castlevania game should be. The music sounds like, you know, a cross between Sega Genesis and Konami arcade stuff. It's nuts. It's weird, and it's a really cool game. It's a good Castlevania game.
It is. It's really fun.
And the same goes for Contra. I think the thing that really hurt these games was that while they're excellent, they're not as good as some of the earlier games in the series that came before them.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, like, yeah, I could buy Castlevania The Adventure Rebirth for $12, or I could buy Rondo of Blood for $8. You know, I could buy Contra Rebirth, or I could buy Contra 3 for $12, or Contra 3 The Alien Wars for $8. And those decisions, they're not even decisions. Like, you've got to get the other games because they're just better. But if you've done those games already and you want something new,
yeah,
these games were great.
They really were.
I mean, geez, Contra Rebirth was so great because it was like as over the top as Contra 3, but it just took it to even further levels of insanity. Like, you're riding on asteroids that are asteroid bits that are burning through Earth's atmosphere, and you have to like jump from asteroid to asteroid while fighting a giant robot. It's so ridiculous, but it's so much fun. It's just an excellent, excellent Contra game. Oh boy, what else we got here? Fluidity is a really cool game.
I didn't play
as much of this one as I should have. I really wanted to. Fluidity is, it's kind of like a platformer, but instead of controlling a person, it's similar to Loco Roco, actually. It's got a lot in common with that, where you're moving the environment to get fluid from one point to another.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Loco Roco plays a little bit more like you're collecting dabs of oil. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how the stuff worked in that one. Fluidity is more like moving water around.
Okay.
But it's a really cool game. It's got an excellent style. I didn't play enough of this game. I should have played more. Worth pointing out, though it's not actually available anymore, I just had to mention it. There was a Club Nintendo reward of Doc Lewis's Punch-Out, which is basically like bonus levels for Punch-Out Wii, which is a phenomenal game.
Yeah, which is awesome.
You get to fight against Doc Lewis, and he's hilarious. Watch a YouTube video of this. It's great. There's You, Me, and the Cubes, which is... How do we describe You, Me, and the Cubes? It's like there's people on cubes. You have to throw things at the cubes to make them rotate. It's freaking weird. Watch a video of it. I can't put this into words. I can't do it. There's a lot of weird stuff that's on WiiWare that I'm going to have a hard time explaining, especially the later we get in this.
Excitebike World Rally. Excellent game.
Awesome game.
Really, really great. It's new Excitebike. It's new old school Excitebike. It's not a sequel to Excitebike 64, which is also excellent, and they should really do something else with that. But it's just new old school Excitebike. It's little light on content for the price, but mm-hmm. if you liked the way the original Excitebike plays, if you enjoy that gameplay, this is a great refining of that. Like, this is a sequel to the original NES Excitebike, and it is great. It's just a wonderful little game. Blaster Master Overdrive is... This lands a little bit more into the interesting category, I think, than actually being good, because I'm a huge Blaster Master fan, and this was supposed to be kind of like the Sunsoft's grand return, and it starts off great. Like, the weight of your car is excellent. Like, everything moves around really well, and the very beginning of the game, you start, like, in this open... outdoor area that looks very nice, and then you enter a cave, and then you never come out for the entire game. The Which whole game is just sucks. Variations of essentially the same cave.
Yeah,
and that was kind of this game's biggest problem. Actually, no, that's not its second biggest problem. Its biggest problem was similar to Metroid Other M, actually, that for whatever reason it insisted on only using the Wii remote turned sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I really liked about Blaster Master Overdrive was that it incorporated your tank being able to do different moves that required more buttons.
Right.
And so you wind up pressing like the B trigger on the back of the Wii remote while you're holding it sideways, which is just about the most unnatural thing ever, to use like the really cool grappling hook mechanic in there. Like, there was a lot of really cool stuff in this game. There were a lot of really good ideas. It just needed some more love and maybe I don't want to say more talented, but someone more experienced to pull it all together.
It needed not to be so married to the control scheme idea. Like, yes. We were playing this old school, traditional, you know, and it was like, oh, but we want to do this shit, but we don't want to be... Like changing, you know, they were so married to it, and it sucked.
It was probably, a lot of it was related to, they didn't want to require you to go out and get a classic controller to be able to play this game, which I get, but then, you know, add the option for classic controller support. Like,
right. It's
playable with the Wii remote held sideways, but if you have the classic controller and you can't use it, that's a huge... oversight. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame. And it just needed more character. It just needed a little bit more of that, a little bit more soul. And the original music, all the music is remasters or remakes of the NES games music. And you know what? In the world where Blaster Master Zero exists, it's very hard to recommend this game because Blaster Master Zero is incredible. But if you're a huge Blaster Master fan, you've probably never played this game, and it's worth a try, at the very least. Arkanoid Plus is worth mentioning because it's more Arkanoid. You know, how do you see none of that?
Yeah, who doesn't love Arkanoid?
Yeah, I think there's this essentially the same game is on Xbox Live, but with a slightly different name. I don't remember what it is. Mm-hmm. I dealt with a couple of these Taito titles. Like, there was a Bubble Bobble 2 that was on this and Xbox. They're essentially the same game, just with different names, but whatever. All right, now this next one. This next game I know about, and I haven't downloaded it because, again, the price is a big hurdle here, but I love the idea of this game. This is Space Invaders Get Even, which is basically a game where you're playing as the invaders.
Yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, and it's kind of like it's got weird, like, Pikmin-esque qualities, it seems, because you play as, like, a mass of the invaders, and you're like flying around just blowing up areas of Earth.
You are the Horde.
It's a very, very neat concept, but the problem is that it's got this weird pricing structure where, like, the whole game costs, I think, close to $30, and
it's not a $30 idea.
It's really not. I mean, it is, you know what, it's a $30 idea, it's not a $30 execution.
Yeah,
you could have, they could make, I feel like this was a good enough idea to make something that was really, really special out of, and I don't think that they pulled it off completely, which is why buying it and all of its subsequent, like, it was almost released in not chapters, like chunks, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird. And I again, it's hard to truly recommend, but it's such a cool concept that if you've got money to burn, there are definitely worse things to burn it on.
I do really like the way it looks because like the art direction is really cool because you're playing in relatively realistic locations with the super pixelated cartoony Space Invaders.
Yeah, like they are the arcade Space Invaders in the real world.
Over awesome. Like pseudo photorealistic fucking
They're
locations.
Still two-dimensional.
Yeah, like it's awesome.
It is really awesome. This game really needs to get remastered and put somewhere else. This was a great idea that should have found more life than just WiiWare.
Yeah, this was a $15 game that they way overpriced. And nobody bought it because
Square
of
Enix.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Square doing Square.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Let's see. You also have the Art Style series, which I won't break down all of them, but they're all very interesting and very different. Cubello, Light Tracks, Orbient, Rotohex, and Rotozoa. They're strange games, but they're all like kind of sort of puzzle based.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really neat. I definitely recommend checking out some of these guys. They're I think Light Tracks is super cool. That's like a game about racing lines.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like Tron Light Cycles, kind of. It's really neat. They're all neat. I heartily recommend these.
This is along the lines like these games fall into like. I think we had probably talked about it way back towards the beginning of the show, but things like Echo Chrome on PS3 and whatnot. Like, very cool, very arty. It's not really a game, like, in the traditional sense. Like, you know, you spend money on it and then go, oh, okay.
Well, these really are
the demo
more
was
like
cool
games. These are they're more like puzzle games.
Yeah. They're fun and, demos and then instant regret.
I would argue that these are less like that and more like just, you know, puzzle games, like buying if you bought like Hexic on or Hexite or whatever, or Bejeweled, something like that. If you like those kinds of games, these are really weird twists on that kind of stuff. Like they're cool concepts that have a lot more depth than they seem, and they all look neat. There's also a whole Art Style series on the 3DS as well. I haven't played most of them, but Art Style Pictobits on 3DS is freaking awesome.
Right.
That one's probably my favorite Art Style game. But anyway, all right,
I am surprised that you on here did not include World of Goo.
I didn't because it's on Switch now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, World of Goo is awesome.
Yeah, World of Goo is great, but it's on Switch, so you don't really need to, you know what, it's cool to go back and get it on Wii because that's what it was designed for with the Wii remote and the pointer
works really well with it.
It does. The pointer on the Switch doesn't work quite as well as the original Wii remote, but it's still a perfectly playable game on Switch.
Yeah.
All right, so these last three are definitely in the weird stuff category.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked a little bit about Muscle March last week, didn't we?
Very briefly.
So Muscle March is a game.
We might have even talked about it off
air. Yeah, it might have been off the air. I can't remember. But Muscle March is a game about a group of bodybuilders whose protein mix has been stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to chase after the thief, who is anything from like a football player to I don't even know what else. And while you're running, it's a team of bodybuilders and a bear, all wearing thongs.
Yes.
And,
they're bodybuilders.
They're bodybuilders. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So as you're running and chasing after whoever it is you're chasing after, the person you're chasing after who stole your protein shakes runs through walls, trees, mountains, like just breaks right through them. And as they're breaking through these things, they're striking poses.
Right.
And so your muscle marcher has to strike the same pose because as they're striking these poses and breaking through the walls, they're leaving like Looney Tunes style, like outlines of themselves on the walls that they're breaking through.
Yeah. There was a game show about this.
Oh yeah, it was like a hole in the wall or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar concept.
This is like if that show was completely insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this game is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a weird, weird fucking game.
But it's one of those things that's oddly amusing to play, and definitely amusing to play when there's other people around.
Yeah.
Depending on the other people.
Well, and they were smart about it because they limited it to 4 poses.
Yeah.
Like, you can only strike 4 different poses going through the wall. So it's not overly complicated. You know, you just have to click one of 4 directions and you're good. But it's ridiculous.
It's very homoerotic.
Well, sure, but it's ridiculous in all the best ways.
It is. Like, I definitely recommend this game. Like, if you're crazy enough to buy it, then play it and play it proud.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fun, it's stupid, and it's freaking weird.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Tomina Sanner. I think that's how you say it. I have no idea.
Okay.
This game is possibly even more insane than Muscle March. This
Which is saying
game,
something.
It is. This game tells the story of a Japanese businessman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be less insane than Incredible Crisis, but it has a similar setting. It has a similar feel.
Right.
It's the same kind of crazy, because so you're a Japanese businessman, and this one plays kind of like the Bit Trip Runner games, where your guy is running because he's late for work,
mm-hmm.
and you have to, like, do things. Everything is going to try to slow you down while trying to get to work, which work is apparently a dance party with a bunch of cheerleaders. It's got a really cool art style, and there's, like, you know, dodging T-Rexes and... This is another one that really, really defies description. Go watch a playthrough of it or download the darn game. It's nuts. It is just stacks of bananas.
It is just purely a Japanese game.
But it's really delightful. It's a really cool game.
Oh yeah, like I say that with the highest praise.
Absolutely, yeah. No, wouldn't think for a second that you don't.
You know, it is just so damn Japanese.
You can't stress enough that it's one of those that works like that in the best possible way.
Yeah.
Similar to Incredible Crisis, although this game is cooler than Incredible Crisis.
Yeah.
Because the thing about Incredible Crisis, it's a PS1 game about a Japanese businessman who's doing all kinds of really weird stuff. So it's like, it's nuts, but Tomina Sanner is actually kind of, like, it's really cool looking. It's got a great art direction. So even when there's all this completely stupid, ridiculous stuff happening, it always looks cool. Like, it's a relatively stunning game. Needs an HD re-release.
Absolutely.
Make it happen. And the last one I'll mention is Chick Chick Boom.
Right.
Great title about exploding chicken ball things. This is a really neat game. I watched a group play through it because I didn't download this myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably should before it goes away forever, because I don't think it's going to get ported to anything else, which makes me sad, because this game would be perfect for Switch.
Right.
Like, this is definitely a kind of game that you want to sit next to somebody and play against them. So you have, like, these rival gangs, which are bouncing chicken balls. Like, they look kind of like the Angry Birds, but
mm-hmm.
just completely round balls that are bouncing up and down. And their play field is separated into these two different things. And you're on kind of like a timer where you get the ability to draw a little circle or a shape of something that will turn into a weapon that you can use on your opposing team. So, like, you're waiting for this timer to go off, and then if you trace the line around, like, an anvil, then you can drop an anvil on the opposing team, and you have to, like, time it so that the bouncing chicken balls that are going back and forth will explode or get squished by it.
Naturally.
This is a really, really creative and cool game. I'm sad that this did not take off. And I think that the developer probably isn't around anymore, which is a shame. Let's see. Chick Boom. Chick Chick Boom. Was developed by Extra Toxic and Tons of Bits. It was published by Nintendo of Europe And what was it published by? I guess in America it was just published by Tons of Bits. It was released in December of 2010. December 27th. Jeez, that's a death sentence.
Yeah, that's
There
not.
you go. 2 days after Christmas. Enjoy. Yikes. And there's no page for this developer anymore. So it was an online flash game that was then turned into this. And it's a shame because this is a really, really cool game. This is one that I do fully intend on buying before the service goes down in March because
Right.
it's something I like to have around. Just because it's oh my God, I'm tired. Ugh. It's just really cool to have around, even if there's such a rare opportunity to actually get people together that we're gonna bust out the Wii and play this
Right.
original WiiWare game. But it's still something I want to have just for the hell of it. And if these guys can still get a couple of bucks for it, then bless them.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not help them out? But have you ever even heard of this one before?
No, I looked it up before the show, and it's interesting looking. It's very
Yeah,
strange.
you really got to watch a playthrough of it because it's kind of nuts, and it's super fun to once you really get the hang of what they're doing, it's like, oh man, this looks like an absolute blast to play with people. Like, it's got the same kind of draw as something like playing Worms against other people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just about trying to defeat your cute opponents, whatever the hell, and have a hoot.
Whatever the hell.
Oh, they're bouncing chicken balls. It's weird.
Yeah, that's weird. It's a weird idea. And like it's a shame too, like it was kind of the thing we talked about with the Wii of like, you know, there was all this potential for all this really weird and cool stuff. And some of it did happen, obviously. I mean, we just talked about it, but like at some point it just got so like the Wii just became kind of, it was just in this really, really weird spot as
It
far as a
was.
game console. And like,
Because I think a lot of gamers really didn't gravitate towards it. There were Nintendo diehards like myself, and we were
right.
able to find the games that were worth the time. You know, like we were able to find, you know, weird stuff like Kororinpa, the marble game, and
Right.
you know, we played Mad World and No More Heroes and WarioWare Smooth Moves, but the most of the audience that bought it, like we said before, they turned it into a Netflix player. Like, they
Yeah.
weren't gamers. This Blue Ocean strategy worked to an extent, but the attach rate of people that bought it that Nintendo really wanted to leverage into, like, you liked Wii Sports? Well, try Zack and Wiki. That didn't work,
Yeah.
and it's a shame that it didn't, but I saw what they were going for, but I think that it was such a strange situation because the install base was insane. There were so many Wiis out there, and everybody wanted to get a piece of that. But it was only games like Carnival Games and was Wii Play and whatnot that really
Yeah.
caught on and did stuff. And by and large, gamers that were looking for this kind of stuff, they didn't really gravitate towards it. And that's a real shame because third parties and even Nintendo themselves had a hard time releasing games that would really latch on and be as successful as they could have been, you know, with the exception of stuff like, you know, New Super Mario Brothers and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think that's the difference between the Wii and the Switch is that the Switch isn't selling to, you know, grandmas who want to play Wii bowling. It's officially now the fastest selling system in American history, which I do find completely insane.
Yeah.
Come March, I really want to do a revisiting of how we felt about the Switch before it came out, because I remember being very angry after their January presentation,
Yeah.
like really angry. And I'm glad that it went the direction that it did instead of the way that I feared it would.
Yeah, I feel like
But
I had to talk you off the ledge on a lot of things.
1-2-Switch made me mad.
As well it should, though.
Indeed, and the game didn't do much, and I'm glad that it didn't. That game deserved to be forgotten.
Right,
And
and it kind of showed who was buying the Switch.
I think that's what's really different about it now, and kind of excitingly different about it now, because when you looked at the Wii, which was insane,
Right.
and you know, it sold through the roof, but it was not selling to gamers. Now people are buying tons of games for the Switch, every week
because they actually have games and not shovelware crap.
Exactly. And not only that, it's like, it's a lot of indie developers are seeing just insane success on the platform, which is, I'm kind of mystified by it. And I want Nintendo to do a great job of continuing to curate this content so that indie developers can keep seeing success. Because like, you hear stories week after week about indie developers saying like, yeah, we released this game on Switch and it sold more on Switch in like 5 days than it did in its lifetime on all these other platforms combined, which is nuts to me.
Well, and I mean, there is the sparsity of what is available on Switch compared to, like, if you're an indie developer and you're putting a game out on Xbox or PS4, there are thousands of games to
compete to a worse extent, Steam.
Oh, Steam is just, I mean, you have to, Steam is a whole other animal.
Yeah.
But even, you know, almost a year later on Switch, the store is still not all that big. You know, you're going to find stuff. Like, if you're just browsing through the store, you're going to stumble across things much more easily than you would if you're looking through, you know, basically any other digital platform to buy games on. So there's definitely that, but there's also
the first couple of months at least. But right now there's this insane list of things and you can't sort through them in any way, shape or form. The Switch shop is not very shoppable.
Like, no, it's not.
You can view them in the order that they were released, but you can't switch by genre or anything like that. It's just people are buying them when they come out because everyone's paying attention the week they come out, which is freaking bizarre.
Yeah. People are excited about it and
it's doing better than I thought it would.
They really have hit on a really good idea. And I think like we were both excited about this idea of, you know, I can pop this down and play it on my television, or I can pick it up and, you know, it is the system. And, you know, I can play the same game everywhere. And there is, like, that is probably going to get copied in the next console releases.
Well, that's something that we could talk about next week.
Yes, we can.
So, but I guess before we delve too deep in that conversation, let's call it a night here. Goodbye WiiWare and goodbye Wii Shop Channel. I know we've still got more time to catch up on this stuff, which is why I wanted to do it now, where you've still got like a month and a half to get this stuff if you really want to. It was an interesting experiment. The Wii is a very interesting time in Nintendo and video game history, and boy, WiiWare is weird. But I'm glad it happened. And I'm glad we are where we are now.
Yeah.
Because I am a much happier gamer now than I have been in a very long time as a Nintendo fan. So, huzzah for that. All right. That's our show. Yay. Join us next week when I'm excited about this idea. Dan and I will be giving our very own State of the Union address on the state of video games. We are going to talk about the big three. And yes, we are going to devote an entire segment of time to saying nice things about the Xbox.
Oh, you didn't say they had to be nice.
Well, we're going to be nice to the Xbox. That was actually the whole idea behind this, was that I know we crap on the Xbox all the time, and I really wanted to try to take a look at, let's try to find the positive in this. Let's try to find out what it is about the Xbox that people like so much and go from there. And I feel like what it basically is the, this is the PC gaming experience viewed through a console.
Mm-hmm.
So like the fact that it's the fact that all this stuff is also available on PC means like, all right, well, yeah, it's available on PC, but with the Xbox One, I can hook it up to my TV and sit back and play it on the couch, which I know is possible with a PC, but it's not as accessible for people like me for whatever reason. But anyway, well, it's going to be a fun episode, and maybe we'll take a look back at that Switch situation. Like, we'll do a compare and contrast as part of that next week too, because that'll be super amusing. Anyway, once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade, K-R-I-S. And Dan, where can people find you?
@Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank this week's intrepid editor, Dean, for making the show listenable for all you folks, because Evan's out of town. Screw that guy.
Mm-hmm. Nobody likes him.
Yeah. We'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we'll have a link to again in the show notes. So, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for even more fresh original content. Even our fresh original website. It's looking snazzy,
Looking snazzy.
It is indeed.
I like it.
All right, that's it, everybody. Dan and I are going to bed. I'm tired.
Me too.
And you keep playing games.
You.
You.
You're good.
Do it.